is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Monday to you. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. This is when the show gets started every weekday. It's 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I hope you absorbed and took in all the football, the college football, the NFL football. I hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving where there'll be more football. Hopefully you've avoided some of the bad teams. Anyway, we're going to be hanging out for the next 4 hours. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. Thank you to people listening free on the Odyssey app, people on Sirius XM channel 158, and everybody on a smart speaker. All you got to do is ask the speaker. Talk to the machine. Tell it to play the Infinity Sports Network. How about this next hour? Hey, I used to work with this guy. We're going to have a chat with Harry Douglas. Yeah, he's on TV, on ESPN all the time, talking about the college football, the pro football. Harry Douglas is coming through. Tonight, Monday Night Football, Battle of the Harbaughs. We got Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. We have John Harbaugh with the Ravens. I guess John can say, actually, I won a Super Bowl against my brother. He didn't do that. He'll have that up on him. There's so much more that we need to get into. Oh, man. Last week while I was gone, Daniel Jones, he requested the boot from the New York Giants after they gave it to him. He's now a free agent. We'll talk about where Daniel Jones might be. Bo Nix is looking good with the Broncos. Jaden Daniels not looking so good with the Commanders. They're now on a 3-game losing streak as the rookie of the year. In jeopardy for Mr. Jaden Daniels. And I know everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley potentially winning MVP. We'll get into Saquon in a little while. As last night, those Eagles, man, they went out there and smashed those Rams. So we got a lot to discuss, a lot to get into. College football, professional football. Porzingis is back tonight. Why he's coming back, I have no idea. If I was Kristaps Porzingis, I would collect my check on the bench until they needed me in, I don't know, January or February when people start to get tired. But I give him credit for not taking the Joel Embiid approach. Well, at least the Celtics are defending champs and the 76 as well. They're hot garbage right now. So we got a lot to get into. You want to holler at me? It's simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You could find me online. I'm on X, Twitter, Instagram, all of this stuff. I'm all over the place. I am at JR Sport Brief. Hey, Ryan Hickey, how are you, man? You doing good?
JR, what is going on? Doing good. Doing well today. Yeah, glad to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back. What did I miss? Did I miss anything? No, right?
No, nothing at all. Nothing crazy, nothing major, just a ho-hum few days.
All right, that's good. How's your weekend? Good?
Weekend was good. It was actually a busy weekend. Had a wedding on Saturday. Had like a little Friendsgiving yesterday during the day. So,
All right. Busy
weekend, but it was still a fun weekend for sure.
That's good to hear. You said wedding. I was like, oh, not you getting married, right?
No, not me. Not me. I think I would take a few days off for that. Okay. I think actually my girlfriend would kill me if I didn't. But okay, it's a different story for a different day, I guess.
That's good, man. I'm happy. Well, who had a better weekend, you or Saquon Barkley?
Oh, Saquon.
Oh, Saquon?
Close, though. Very close. I mean, going to a wedding and Friendsgiving barely loses out to rushing for 255. Barely.
This man rushed for 255 yards yesterday. He had 305 total yards. He grabbed another 47 out of the sky. He rushed for 2 touchdowns, 1 for 70, 1 for 72 yards. And now you wake up and everybody's like, hey, him, MVP for the entire NFL. And Saquon, I guess this is what it feels like to actually be on a winning team. The Eagles have a record of 9-2 after beating the Rams last night, 37-20. And Saquon Barkley is, for the first time in his career, forget that flash in the pan that the Giants had against the Vikings. Eagles are a good team. And Saquon knows what it feels like to be on a winner. Hey, you know what? Let's listen to the 72-yard touchdown by Saquon on the Eagles radio network. This basically cemented things. It made the score 37-14.
In the pistol with Barkley behind him. Motobetti gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, uh-oh, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hickey, I'm glad that guy was excited. Well, how about that, right?
I mean, if you can't get excited over that game, hang up the microphone.
Yeah, well, that man was running all... The man ran three football fields yesterday, Hickey. Three!
That's insane!
Yeah, who the hell is running three football fields? Saquon Barkley now leads the world in everything in regards to rushing. We'll see what happens tonight when the Ravens take on the Chargers, when Derrick Henry steps out onto the field. But Saquon has just lost his mind. Just flat and period. You think about what he's been able to do so far this year. 223 carries. 1,392 yards to go along with 10 touchdowns. We haven't seen a running back win most valuable player since Adrian Peterson did it back in 2012. Well, now with Saquon beating up the world at the running back position, now with the Eagles on a 7-game winning streak, now with the Eagles at 9-2, now with the only dude who could probably bring them down being Nick Sirianni, Saquon Barkley he's going to work. I mean, he talked about having this type of success now that he's with the Eagles. This is what he said last night.
To be honest, I'm not surprised. I didn't know, I would have this much success. And I keep thinking that God's been blessing me a lot, a ton, to be honest. But, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the fresh start. Big reason why I wanted to come here, me and my family. And my fiance, I've had a conversation with. I think this is a spot where I can, kind of rewrite my story and feel like I can show everyone the type of player that I feel like that I can be and was meant to be. It's working out right now. But the beauty of it is the NFL is week to week, and we're hot right now. But you just got to get ready for next week and keep moving.
Yeah, next game in hilarious fashion is Baltimore. On Sunday, the same Baltimore that's going to be playing tonight, the Eagles are going to take on Baltimore. And for Baltimore's sake, I hope they win this game. And we'll get more into the Ravens as they get ready to take on the Chargers. We'll do that next hour. We'll get into that at the top of the hour. But this is not a shock to folks, okay? It's Saquon Barkley, if people don't remember, he was selected number 2 overall in the 2018 NFL draft. Dave Gettleman of the New York Giants, the former GM of the New York Giants, he was criticized for this pick because it's like, hey, it's a running back. And if it doesn't work, you're going to have an amazing running back on a crap team. And that's exactly what happened with the New York Giants. I mean, they went from a crap team, stayed garbage all the way. They drafted Saquon, and then they pulled in Daniel Jones. And then it's just like, well, what do you got now? Nothing. The Giants have nothing to show for it but just being a bunch of losers right now. And so Saquon is on his way to the playoffs. The only guy who can ruin it is the goofy Mr. Sirianni here. And even the competition. How about a guy who won a Super Bowl, Sean McVay of the Rams, who are now 5-6, by the way. Don't expect nothing from the Rams this year. Don't. If you had a thought in your brain that the Rams were going to all of a sudden go on a run, just throw it out the window. Sean McVay. He said what we know. Saquon is awesome.
He's getting tougher, harder in yards, and then you give him a vertical seam like he got a couple times, and he's got the explosiveness and the long speed and the ability to be able to finish, and that was really what opened up and really blew the game open for him. He was outstanding tonight.
The guy's amazing. Let's keep in mind, a guy blew out his leg a couple years ago. He's at full strength. He's on a good team. Devontae Smith didn't even play last night because he had to deal with a busted up hammy. But the offensive line on the Eagles is actually good. It's something the Giants don't have. They have a quarterback who helped take them to a Super Bowl. They have wide receiver options that are capable of just being Pro Bowlers every year. And then you have one of the more dynamic running backs that we've seen in the NFL in recent history. Saquon Barkley is built like a truck, but moves like a, and sorry to the cheetah down in Miami, Tyreek Hill, But this guy moves like a cheetah, but he's built like a Mack truck. He's one of the best guys to watch. Let's see if he can help these Eagles get back to the Super Bowl. Hey, how about the quarterback who's been Jalen Hurts? He says watching Saquon is just, well, he's just amazing.
He's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a player. And I said that, you know, I said that after the Jacksonville game and how blessed he is to do some of the things he's capable of. And you accompany that, you know, when you accompany an issue with other issues, you become a problem, you know. And then I think we've got a lot of talent on our team, but I think we're a force when we're all together. And I think that's evident out there.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles are rolling right now, man. They got a boon in bringing in Saquon Barkley. They improve their pass defense. This team, the Eagles right now, defensively, number three against the pass, number seven against the run, number one overall. Like the passing game, pass defense was their bugaboo last year. You draft two freaks of nature, Quinyon Mitchell. This guy's out here lighting people up, not letting anybody do anything. And so the Eagles, yeah, we can expect them to, I don't know, maybe be the biggest competitors to the Lions, because we saw with the 49ers, the 49ers are still busted up. They've been busted up all year round. Now you're looking at Brock Purdy, who's sure a shoulder, but not looking good for them. And the Eagles are stepping things up, and they're certainly going to be dangerous come postseason time. And Saquon, like I said, people are looking at him saying, well, this guy is going to be MVP. He's MVP leader. He's MVP candidate. Today, Monday, yes. But we still have more football, okay? This is week 12 of the NFL season. The MVP of the year is going to boil down to, A, who has the best record and who ends on a hot streak. That's it. It's going to be difficult for Saquon Barkley to win MVP because I told you this already. Adrian Peterson was the last dude to do it back in 2012. This award goes out to QBs. And I know the Baltimore Ravens are looking kind of shaky. And we'll see how shaky they look tonight against the Chargers. Lamar Jackson is there. You got to think about Josh Allen. He's there. Unless the Eagles just run roughshod through everybody. And I don't think Saquon has to go out there and break Eric Dickerson's record. Not by any stretch of the imagination, by the way. He's playing an extra game at 17. I still think a quarterback will end up with this award if the Buffalo Bills keep rolling, if the Ravens could end on a hot streak. And Saquon, this vibe surrounding him and the Eagles, it's going to have to continue for him to become MVP. Is he capable? Yes, but it's early. It's week damn 12. Hey, Hickey, what are your thoughts? Today, yes, because what he did last night was spectacular. If he can keep this up the rest of the year and the Eagles keep winning, I think he has a better chance. But I think more than likely it'll still go to a QB.
I think he's definitely in the mix now for sure. I think it's a really four-man race. I think it's Lamar, Josh Allen, Saquon, and Derrick Henry. I would say the four right now frontrunners for MVP. And I think when you look at, like, for me at least, the big discussion is, can the Eagles' offense still have success if Saquon Barkley gets, you know, held to 40 yards, if he doesn't have a great game? I think the answer still is yes. Not to diminish what he's done, but I think not only has he helped this Eagles' offense, but I think the Eagles' offense has really helped him as well, where it's like a mutually beneficial partnership, where it's like if you look at the Ravens, if Lamar has a bad game, they're not winning most games. And so that's why, like, when you look at MVP, I would still right now put Lamar and Allen over Saquon, in large part too because Lamar is having a career year so far, in a career where he's had already two MVP awards. He's outdoing himself. Right. That's why I would say still and give the nod to Lamar, because I also don't think one bad game against the Steelers last week should be enough to knock him down after being basically the front runner all season long so far. I think it's now Saquon's in the mix, not for me number one yet.
No, without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to take a lot of work. It's crazy to think what Saquon generated yesterday, more than 300 yards as an individual. He had more yards than his former team did yesterday against the Buccaneers. 245 for the New York Giants. And Saquon went out there and had 305 yards. And we'll get more into the running back situation. Hickey, I like how you put Derrick Henry in the mix. He's like good for a touchdown almost every stinking game, it feels like. We'll get into the running backs and what their value is, because we got a lot of people saying, oh, well, look at what Saquon is doing. Look at what Derrick Henry is doing. Look at what Josh Jacobs is doing. All on their new teams and the value of running backs. And I'm just saying to myself, yeah, but what good is it having a running back paying a guy $15, $16 million a year if your team is going to suck? The New York Giants have experienced that already. They ain't missing Saquon that much. He would not make much of a difference. And by the way, would he have these numbers playing on that or playing behind that offensive line? I think the answer is probably no. You know, good running backs belong on good teams where they could help take them over the edge. A good or great running back, he ain't dragging no team, which also leads to Higgy's argument about MVP. We know who the most valuable guy on a team is. It's the QB. And if you don't got one of those, hey, go ask the Raiders. You ain't got nothing. As simple as that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We have so much more to get into. We're going to talk some college football, because if we go back to Saturday, Indiana, Alabama, Colorado, Ole Miss, they all took L's. College football rankings are going to look real different tomorrow. We got the Harbaugh Bowl. We got the Ravens taking on the Chargers. We'll get into that next hour. Hey, Harry Douglas, former wide receiver in the NFL, here for the Falcons and now analyst on ESPN. Harry's going to come through and chat it up with us about some college and some pros. We're going to get into some guys who, well, they just turned pro and they're doing pretty good. Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, who is in the line to win Rookie of the Year. Daniel Jones is looking for a job. Where the hell should he go? And you know what? A matter of fact, it's hilarious. His old team, the New York Giants, man, they got a Wookiee. Hickey, well, I'm thinking about Star Wars. A Wookiee wide receiver? What the hell is my
Right, is that what the Wookiee sounds like?
No, you got to work on your Chewbacca, man. No. No. Chewbacca would smack you for saying that to him. I think he's bigger than Wembanyama. He would smack the hell out of you.
That's not a guy I would ever mess with, that's for sure.
Chewbacca or Wembanyama?
Both, but especially Chewbacca.
Yeah. He's fighting aliens. Look, Wembanyama could block some shots. He ain't never fought no fat slave holding alien. Like, what's that guy's name? Hickey, I'm asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I was going to. Please don't be throwing a lifeline towards me. I can't catch it.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, yes. I know Jabba.
Yeah, he can't move. He just fat sits up there and enslaves the other aliens. What a terrible guy.
So fat. So disgusting.
He's fat. And they say he smells too. I don't know.
Looks like it. I believe it.
Yeah. What is he, a slug, a worm?
Something like that, yeah.
I think he's dead. I think they killed him.
Good.
Yeah, I think Princess Leia choked him out with a chain. Yeah, good. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, yeah, the Giants keep on losing. And now everybody realizes, I think we knew this, it wasn't just the QB. It's everybody. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Saquon Barkley, now in the MVP mix in the NFL. Good for him. Let's see if somebody else in the MVP mix, that being Lamar Jackson, let's see what he does tonight against the Chargers, who also have a damn good defense, one of the best in the league. We'll get into that game next hour. Get into some college football in a few minutes. But, you know, as we kind of talk about Saquon, I mentioned the New York Giants. And, you know, while I was out at the end of the last week, Daniel Jones, he got benched and then he asked for his release. A couple of loser ass teams he could go to. There's some good teams that he could go to as a backup. So Daniel Jones has some options. And to be honest, I wouldn't be shocked, you know, after teams kind of, you know, go through the draft and free agency. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Daniel Jones, make a start or maybe more next year. The New York Giants are one of those teams, by the way. They're going to be looking for a new quarterback. They're going to be looking for a new running back. They probably, maybe, possibly going to be looking for a new coach in Brian Daboll. And yesterday, no Daniel Jones Tommy DeVito in at quarterback. The Buccaneers embarrass the Giants. The final score, 30-7. Those 7 points might as well be, I want to say it's a throw-in, but who the hell cares? They were getting destroyed. The game was 30-0. Baker Mayfield was standing around doing Tommy DeVito celebration. You know, just being wildly disrespectful after a touchdown run. And if you wonder what Tommy DeVito did, 189 yards, he did not throw a touchdown. He did not throw an interception. He did not fumble the ball. Unfortunately, the New York Giants' best player on offense, Malik Nabers, the man didn't touch the ball until the second half. Let me remind you, this wide receiver out of LSU is a rookie. Just got to the league. The man had 9 targets all in the second half. He had 6 receptions, 64 yards, and the Giants look pathetic. I don't know who the hell is worse right now, the New York Giants or the New York Jets. What's even funnier is, after the game, the media went to speak to Malik Nabers, and let's just say he was probably too honest in saying that, hey, having a new quarterback didn't make much of a difference because we still lost. And then he pretty much said, hey, why didn't I get the ball early? I don't know. Don't ask me. Go ahead and ask the coach. Listen to Malik Nabers last night after the game.
It ain't the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. It ain't the quarterback. Go out there first, second quarter. Don't get the ball. Start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Davis about that.
Oh, my goodness. Hickey, why was he chewing that gum soap? What was he doing?
Oh, he was chewing the gum. That was a loud chew. I don't know if it was intentional to really help emphasize his frustration. It's annoying, man. Right?
I saw him. I watched it. I watched the whole interview, post-game, whatever, at his locker, man. He put the gum in before he started talking. I'm like, isn't that rude? That's rude. Don't you learn that when you're a kid? Maybe, I guess, if you play football, it doesn't matter as much. But when you talk, you just don't, you know, you don't see the president of any place, you know, just say, hey, let me chew some gum before I make it. You don't see a Fortune 500 CEO just pop gum in his mouth before he starts, you know, speaking. But maybe it's not all that important. Like, he's pass catching. He ain't got to talk for a living, even though his words did kind of make some people uncomfortable. His head coach, Brian Daboll, said he spoke to him following his comments. He did not want to reveal what he said. He did not want to reveal what they discussed. But Brian Daboll did agree. Yeah, he got a right to be mad. He's very competitive. And it's my fault. We should have gotten him the ball earlier. Listen to Coach Daboll.
These guys put a lot of work into this, as does everybody involved. And certainly not something that we wanted yesterday. You work hard every week to not have that happen, and that was a tough one. So there's frustration that comes with it, understandable.
Yeah, who wants to lose 30-7? Oh, my goodness. Giants are going nowhere. What a disaster. And the New York Jets, I guess they couldn't help themselves today either. New York Jets are, Hickey, what are they doing? They're hiring or bringing in Mike Tannenbaum, who's the general manager that they fired almost a decade ago. They're bringing him in to help find the next GM?
Could you name me another franchise in any sport that would, in order to help consult and find the next right GM, bring in a past fired GM to help them with the search? Is any other team in any other league doing that?
I'm trying to think of stupid teams.
The Raiders are stupid. I don't think they're stupid enough to do that.
Not with Tom Brady now. No, they're not doing that.
Right. They actually made a smart move. Good for Mark Davis.
Jacksonville Jaguars, right? They got robbed by one of their own employees. I mean,
that they did. I don't believe they're going to, you know, bring in Urban Meyer to help find the next head coach once Doug Peterson is inevitably fired. I'm trying to think basketball. I mean, the Knicks have turned it around, but they weren't, you know, firing Phil Jackson and bringing him back to find the next coach.
They did have Isaiah Thomas. Well, no, Isaiah Thomas, they got rid of him, and he was still a consultant there for
That's
a while.
True. Okay. Good point. Yeah. Good point. There's the Knicks. James
so the Dillon. Knicks. The Knicks and the Jets, there's something in that, I don't know, the Hudson River or the water comes from north. I don't know. And dumbass teams. Yeah, they are. Come on now. What are they doing? Isaiah Thomas had a whole sexual harassment suit levied against him and the Knicks. And James Dolan just said, it's okay. We'll still keep him in the background. You know, whatever. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, people do wild things. Anyway, the New York Jets. Yeah, they're looking at their past GM. They're looking at this media firm that's coming in. They're kind of like headhunters as well. And everybody is like, what are y'all doing? The head coach, Jeff Ulbrich. And by the way, can't wait for this. Everybody's favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is likely to speak tomorrow. As there are rumors that he's going to get benched, that he wants to leave. The head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, he spoke today. And he's like, is it weird that they're looking for the next coach and they're using a media firm and guys who got fired and then it's also to replace you? Is it weird? Listen to this guy.
In all honesty, it's not at all. My singular focus is just finishing the season off the right way, playing a brand of football we're all proud of, myself included, you know, and that starts with Seattle.
Yeah, that's what a coach is supposed to say. And he's the interim coach, by the way. Pretty hilarious how the New York Jets couldn't even get through the season with the guys that they were hoping and expecting could lead them to a championship. Rob Saleh, head coach, gone. Joe Douglas, the general manager, gone. Aaron Rodgers, rumors of this man being benched, put on injured reserve. Rumors of Aaron Rodgers not wanting to be a part of the organization anymore. All three of these guys may not even make it through the season. One of the most New York Jets thing ever. You know, to be honest, I think the Jets and the Giants, they got to be on the same path. They don't got a quarterback. They don't got nothing. They could legitimately go into the postseason. Well, not the postseason. They're not going there. They can go into the offseason and have to figure out who their next head coach is. Obviously, Daboll is still here with the New York Giants. He might stick around. The Jets are worse. Hickey, the Jets are worse? No, right? Giants don't got nothing. They got a coach for now.
The Jets are worse. They are in part because they make it such a public display.
All right, right.
And they take some big swings that, first of all, are not very calculated and usually about 3 years too late. So they try to win the press clippings, which only makes then their demise that much more public and that much more embarrassing. But the Giants, they're right there. They their best bet is that the Jets are a shield for them, and they just kind of just go about their misery in silence.
Wow. The only thing that could be worse for the Giants, I can't wait for Aaron Rodgers to say something crazy tomorrow. I think it's a toss-up. He's either going to say something crazy or he won't say anything at all. I would love for Woody Johnson to say, I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to being ambassador to the United Kingdom. I just need all the bad things to happen to the New York Jets. Because like I said, if it's going to go down and it's going to stink, then do it in spectacular fashion. And for the Giants, they have reached the point of Dexter Lawrence, the best player on defense, telling everybody, man, yeah, we suck. We're soft.
Are you angry?
Extremely. We play soft, and they beat the out of us today.
When you say you played soft or your ball club played soft, can you be more specific?
We missed a lot of tackles. We didn't contain Baker well in the scrambles. We didn't cover well. It's soft to me.
I'm going to give Dexter Lawrence credit for actually elaborating on his response. You say you're soft. Well, what makes you soft? Well, we didn't tackle. We didn't contain. We got the running quarterback. Well, not the running quarterback running all over the place and not tackling it. I give Dexter Lawrence credit. Because if you're telling me a football team is soft, I think we all know the answer. And good on Dexter Lawrence for not running away. And hey, good luck to the New York Giants and the New York Jet fans. Y'all are the ones really doing the suffering. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. When we come back on the other side of the break, hey, we had some college football teams who did some suffering on Saturday. We're going to talk about Alabama. They lost. We're going to talk about Ole Miss. They lost. We're going to talk about Indiana. No shock, but they lost. And then Colorado, man, they lost to Kansas. Kansas is like, hey, who else can we upset here to end the season? We'll get into that on the other side of the break. We'll talk about some Monday night football at the top of the hour. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we talked about some of the some of the good and the bad that we saw yesterday in the NFL. Saquon Barkley, very good. Anything New York football related, very, very bad. Well, I watch football all damn weekend. I'll tell you this. I saw some bad things. I saw some bad things on Saturday. Hickey, I know you were busy. Did you see the bad thing that almost happened to your school, almost happened to Penn State?
Keyword, almost. Oh, I did. I was sweating it out in the cocktail hour there. That was actually the tough part. I was not with any friends, so I'm sitting there by myself trying to internalize all my emotions. So watching that fake punt was definitely interesting in terms of trying to just keep my cool, but
wait.
Locked in.
What were you? What, you were watching on your phone or something?
Like, of course.
What are you? No sense of community? What are you talking about?
When the Penn State's playoff hopes are on the line.
Oh, crap.
With a few minutes to go, sorry.
Let's be real, man. You don't think they're going to do anything anyway. So what difference does it make? And if they would have lost, do you think they were just going to fall completely out of the playoff, period?
I mean, this was also before, to be fair, Alabama lost and A&M lost.
Okay.
But, I mean, 10-2, I will say Penn State's resume is not exactly the strongest. There's no signature win they can fall back on. And right now, in your best piece of your resume is, oh, we lost at home by a touchdown to Ohio State. Not great. The best. So I won't, I would be nervous, let's say, about, what would it be, 10 days or so from now, 2 weeks, when the committee comes out and finally gives their final rankings. I would definitely be sweating to see if Penn State's in or not. So glad I'll have to be doing that.
It's crazy that we're already at this point of the college football season. Pretty much down to 1 week. Then we got to look at the conference championship games. And Hickey, you mentioned Alabama. Yeah, they ended up losing it to Oklahoma. And 24-3. They got Auburn next to pretty much close things out. And that's three losses that Alabama now has. And every now and then they look good. And then they go out there and they lay an egg. They lost to the Sooners. They lost to Tennessee. They lost to Vanderbilt. And I don't know. We know. Well, Coach Saban, he ain't going down there to save them or convince them away from the rat poison. And now you got DeBoer, who's tasked with, having them go out there. And Alabama, there's so many questions now when you take a look at the SEC. I wouldn't be surprised if things came down to who ends up winning the conference championship. Their offensive lineman, Tyler Booker, he actually spoke today. And I think he had an answer as to why Alabama just hasn't been consistent. This is what he told the next round.
Where we go wrong, where we fall short, is we're worried about external factors, and external factors being the postseason. And what we have to realize, what we have to do better with, is treating every game like a one season game, just going 1-0 every week. And that's something that we preach, but that's something that we have to continue to enforce. Like, there is no tomorrow unless we conquer today. And that's our mindset from here on out.
Damn. Damn. And Hickey, I was going to ask Harry Douglas about this, but he's not having a baby, right? Not him. Baby's not falling out of him, right?
No. Yeah, that would be a modern miracle there. No.
Mr. Mom. Somebody else is having a baby, so we got to talk to Harry another time, right?
Correct. Unfortunately, he has gave us the bad news that he will no longer be able to join the program tonight.
We'll get to Harry. We'll get to Harry. Not tonight, but we'll get to Harry. And good luck to whoever's having that baby. Good for them. Well, anyway, we got another SEC team that took an L, but they're used to it. They're used to it. Most times it's to, Alabama or the Bulldogs. Ole Miss loss to the Gators. Come on now. All of a sudden, the Gators are showing life. Ole Miss beats the Bulldogs and the signature win for Lane Kiffin. And then they go down to Mr. Napier and the Gators. This is why you can never trust Ole Miss. They got the same damn record right now as Alabama at 8-3. They have lost to LSU. We know where LSU is going. Hickey, they going to the playoff?
No.
Is Kentucky going to the playoff?
Oh, no, 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 no.
And Ole Miss, this is who the hell they lost to. And now you could add the Gators to that list as well. This is pretty pathetic. Lane Kiffin always has that just questionable look on his face. He's just quizzical, doesn't know what the hell is going on. Lane Kiffin, he talked about disappointment in losing to the Gators.
Game of a lot of missed opportunities, you know. Go 0-for-3 in the red zone, get no points out of it, miss field goal, and get stopped twice on fourth downs. Lose the turnover margin in a tough place to play against a team that, you know, has played really good when that quarterback plays. Credit to him. He's a really good player that made a lot of plays in the first half when we had him back there. So it's really disappointing outcome.
Yo, forget them for a minute. We know Ole Miss ain't doing nothing. I wouldn't be surprised. Now at this point, I don't expect them to make the college football playoff. Congrats to the Gators. It's 6-5. We had all these conversations about buyouts and giving coaches the boot. Nah, Billy Napier ain't going nowhere. Helping to turn things around. Maybe all the Florida football isn't as dead, you know, outside of Miami as people have proclaimed it to be. A lot of noise, a lot of crap, a lot of smack talking coming out of Florida as to what team is the most dominant in the entire state. Well, Florida is out there and still showing some life. This team, I think we could have expected this one. I watched this one until I said, I ain't watching this crap no more. Indiana took a loss. Ohio State smoked them 38-15. We had, a lot of, you thought Baker Mayfield doing stereotypical Italian hand gestures was disrespectful. Kurt Cignetti, he was reminded about some of his own words, that you should Google him. I mean, people are putting out fake cigarettes on the sideline, and Indiana takes his first L, one that we expected. Kurt Cignetti, after the game, he was asked whether or not Indiana did enough to still get into the college football playoff. And come on now, the answer is still yes. Come on now.
Is that a serious question? I'm not even going to answer that one. The answer's so obvious.
Man. Hickey, what junior reporter asked him that question?
That's a tough one there. You got to ask it. And you kind of knew that answer with how he's carried himself all year was coming. I give him credit. It's easy to just kind of say, oh, someone else would do it. He did it, whoever he may be.
Did that question have to be asked? Did it have to be? Are you still you just lost to a team that people look at and go, hey, they're one of the legitimate teams that could win the national championship. You just lost to them after being undefeated all year. Do you think you still go? You know his answer is yes. You don't have to ask that. You don't.
But with all the talk, and again, it's not coming from, you know, him, Indiana, the Big Ten, with all the talk nationally about how bad Indiana is because they played nobody. And the SEC wins 10 teams in. And people talked about, oh, margin of victory. How are you going to play against Ohio State? I mean, look, they lost by 3 touchdowns. They got dominated. And they scored really a garbage time touchdown. Should have been a lot worse than just the 22 points they lost by. I think it's a fair question. Again, you know the answer is coming, but I think the answer that he said is correct. But with all the talk about this program and how they played nobody, and this is the one true test they have to show they belong, and they didn't show it.
Oh,
I think you got to ask the question.
It depends. Listen, it says more about what they do. Forget Saturday. They're gonna smash Purdue. We know that. That's a given. We also know unless they lose to Purdue, there's no reason for them not to go ahead and make the playoff. Like, they're going to get in. You don't think they're going to get in if they beat up on Purdue?
Oh, no, I'm with you 1,000,000%. I think a lot of this, you know, a lot of talking heads, a lot of discussion is just all hot air. I think they're absolutely belonging to be in at 11-1, no doubt about it. But they have been the target, and maybe it's just mostly coming from the SEC that's now just bled nationally. They have been the target, along with a little bit of Penn State as well, of playing nobody and getting beneficial treatment where the big bad SEC plays, you know, top 10 opponents every single week. That discussion, that, you know, look on Indiana was out there is real.
All things considered, we know Indiana, they ain't winning nothing either. Let's just be real. They got beat up by a team that is a legitimate contender. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a guy who just left college. It's one of the Harbaughs. It's Jim versus John on the other side. Don't move.